JC Corcoran Podcast.
When a man meets the woman he loves, everything changes. His heart races, his head spins. And suddenly, all the dozens and dozens of women he's sleeping with no longer matter. A few years ago, I found the woman I love, and I've put some of my feelings into this little ode. Every man needs a woman, and I need you, to lift me when I am sad, to comfort me when I am down, to clean me when I am drunk, to walk beside me when I want to look like I am not gay. To walk in front of me when I need someone to act as a human windbreak. To kiss me when I am horny. To massage me when I am tense and or horny. To make me horny when I am not horny. And then to watch me fall asleep. I need you, darling, to clean between my toes when they are not clean to my satisfaction. To pick the nits out of my hair when I have head lice. To try milk for me when I am not sure of the expiration date. To be there when I need you to be there, and to be out of town the rest of the time. My darling, although it may seem sentimental, I want to take this moment to tell you I love you, because I don't want to lose half my stuff. Good night, my love.
Now I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest disc jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
The Olympics are over. Late night television talk shows back. Stephen Colbert, Seth Meyers, I've missed you so. How you doing, kids? It's the JC Corcoran Podcast. You are at jconline.com for Monday, the 9th of August, 2021. By the way, if there was a gold medal for being an asshole, French marathoner Morhad Amdouni. Whatever I just said. This guy would have won it. During Sunday's race, he approached a water station, knocked over several bottles of water, then grabbed the last one for himself. Have a nice day. A German coach was booted from the games for punching a horse. That might be the most German statement ever made. On the final day of the Tokyo Games, there were a total of 430 known COVID cases. And we have another Cuomo accuser. And not to take one's eye off the ball. Well, actually, it's me. I don't want to take my eye off the ball. She is making her statement on CBS News this morning. And all I want to tell you is, wait till you see this one. Man, I'm sorry she had to go through what she allegedly had to go through. But man, is she hot. Whoa. By the way, Dodger Stadium yesterday.
Girl right here takes him over the fence. We all know I love a good female empowerment story.
And stone cold with the walk away on CBS this morning.
That was the right field line ball girl at Dodger Stadium. And some clown ass decides to start running across the field. He is traversing the field from the infield out towards right field. She gets up from her little stool, you know, because you sit there in foul territory as a ball girl, you know, one down the left field line, one down the right field line, and you sit there as a ball girl, and then, you know, you wait for foul balls. In this case, she waited for the clown ass, and she squared him up and took him out. Took him out so much that she, in essence, threw him over the sidewall. You know how sometimes you see these guys make spectacular catches? They're running. They catch the ball, but then they collide with the sidewall and go flipping head over heels into the concrete where the seats are. Well, that's where this guy ended up, except she threw him there. Hilarious. She'll be on the late night TV now that the shows are back. Here's the hot chick, another Cuomo accuser. I mean, listen, I haven't heard this. I'm listening live.
Hugs and kisses.
These were not hugs that he would give his mother or, you know, his brother. These were hugs with the intention of getting some personal sexual satisfaction out of. Then they started to be hugs with kisses on the cheek. And then there was at one point a hug. And then when he went to go kiss me on the cheek, he quickly turned his head and he kissed me on the lips.
What did you say?
I didn't say anything this whole time. People don't understand that this is the governor of the state of New York. There are troopers that are outside of the mansion. They are not there to protect me. They are there to protect him.
Okay. Very credible. Very hot. Credibly hot. Cuomo's got to go. He's got to go. He knows, by the way, that they have the votes to impeach him. So it's just, he's just trying to run out the clock right now. It's just a matter of time. But you already knew that. Another big story today is the release of information from 250 scientists that deal with things like climate change, global warming, whatever you want to call it. By the way, the Republicans have always cornered the market on the correct way to sell an idea, a principle, some sort of policy. It's Karl Rove at work. I'm telling you, when Americans were getting upset, you know, during the George W. Bush years about rich people getting richer, and Karl Rove comes along and starts calling them the job creators. They're not rich people. They're the job creators. And people went, oh, okay. And the Democrats have defund the police. Nice job, guys. There's a lot of idiots throughout politics, but the people who are running the Democratic Party just don't understand what marketing is and how important marketing is to any successful political campaign. They just don't get it. But anyhow, like 250 scientists, climatologists, you know, that sort of stuff. You know, up until now, they've been telling us, you know, you got 50 to 100 years of continuing on this ecological destruct mission. And then 50 to 100 years down the line, it'll probably be too late. And you're going to start seeing all sorts. Well, already we're seeing, you know, catastrophic wildfires, droughts, wild swings in temperature and in climate. There's a lot of idiots out there who don't understand the difference between weather and climate. And there's even more who are pretending to not know the difference. But the new report says, you messed up. You trusted us. Did we say 50 to 100? No, it's probably a lot sooner than that. It already might be too late. But that will be all over the news today. You'll get an earful of that, I'm sure. OJ continues to entertain us. He says he doesn't want to go to LA because he might be sitting next to whoever killed Nicole and Ron. He said, I figured eventually somebody would confess to something, you know? End quote. OJ needs to take that act to open mic night at the Funny Bone. Despite the rise in COVID cases, Barack Obama went ahead with his massive birthday bash on Martha's Vineyard. Originally, it was supposed to be like 800 people, and they got it down to a very small number. Just to show you who got disinvited, Larry David and David Letterman. Celebrities who did make the cut, Jay-Z, Beyonce, John Legend, Chrissy Teigen, Don Cheadle, Tom Hanks, Dwayne Wade, Gabrielle Union, Alicia Keys, Steven Spielberg, Stephen Colbert, George Clooney, Questlove, Bradley Cooper, Bruce Springsteen, and Eddie Vedder. They also hired a COVID compliance officer to ensure the safety of guests. And Live Nation is encouraging bands to require fans and staff to either be vaccinated or show proof of a negative test at their concerts. They say the policy was a great success at Lollapalooza with 90% of the crowd fully vaccinated. I love Foo Fighters for lots of reasons. The bigots of the Westboro Baptist Church tried to picket a Foo Fighters show in Kansas last week, so the band drove by them on a flatbed truck performing their version of the Bee Gees' You Should Be Dancing. Message received. And I was sorry to hear that somebody we had on the show years back, Marky Post, and I don't think people knew that she was 70 years old. She had a four-year-long battle with cancer and died on Saturday at the age of 70. She was on The Fall Guy. She was on Night Court. She also played the mom in There's Something About Mary. We had her on there, and she was absolutely adorable. Nicest, sweetest, fun, upbeat person you'd ever want to meet. The late night television talk shows are back, alleluia. Billie Eilish on with Jimmy Fallon. Kimmel's got Whitney Cummings. David Spade is filling in for Kimmel, who's taking the summer off. Stephen Colbert's got Stephen King. And Seth Meyers has Kristen Bell, Dax Shepard, and John Stamos. A couple of weeks ago, we told you about this show that was going to be on NBC called Ultimate Slip and Slide. And you probably had one of these when you were a kid. It's a long piece of vinyl or plastic or something, and then you wet it down, and then you go running, and hopefully you don't fall and have your femur come shooting through your skin. Well, they start shooting this show, The Ultimate Slip and Slide, and somebody apparently was, had an upset stomach because they were going to be on national TV, and there was all this pressure and everything like that. And during the actual competition, well, let's just say that nature called and it wasn't solid. And I don't mean the person peed. I'm talking about semi-solid. Yeah, the one of the contestants got diarrhea all over the Ultimate Slip and Slide. NBC announced this morning that they have scrapped the television show. Nobody even wants to clean it up. Just fold it up and get it the hell out of here. Brian May from Queen says he loves Eric Clapton, but at the same time, he thinks anti-vaxxers are fruitcakes. Good call, Brian. Birthdays today, Anna Kendrick, who shot a movie in St. Louis, Up in the Air, with George Clooney. 36, Gillian Anderson from The X-Files. 53, Deion Sanders. 54, Hoda Kotb from The Today Show. 57, Melanie Griffith, or at least parts of her, are 64. And Sam Elliott is 77. This is the 11th anniversary back in 2010 of one of my all-time favorite stories, that JetBlue flight attendant Steven Slater dramatically quit the JetBlue flight attendant experience by sliding down the plane's emergency chute at JFK International Airport. And that was that. Take this job and shove it back in the terminal. I ain't working for you no more. I've told you that for the longest time, you go back 20 years, even 15 years, and I used to say, you know, at any given moment in this country, probably, 15 to 20% of the population just isn't all there. They're either emotionally, and I'm being serious here now, they might have some sort of an emotional trauma that has caused their central nervous system to sort of act up, and they're just not normal people. They're not like the rest of us because they're carrying this thing around. And then some people are just nuts. But if you throw all of this together, all of these people who are, because of no fault of their own, because of mental illness, or because they're just goofy, at any given point, 15 to 20% of the population is sort of not all there. Look at the way people drive. Just look at that alone. Well, a new study found 4.5% of the population are psychopaths. That's one in every 22 people. And one of the top jobs for psychos is radio host. Could have told you that. It's number three on the list after CEO and lawyer. The 10 jobs with the most psychopaths: CEO, lawyer, TV or radio personality, salesperson, surgeon, journalist, priest, police officer, chef, and politician. The 10 jobs with the lowest rate of psychopaths: social workers, nurses, therapists, artisans or craftsmen, stylists, charity workers, teachers, artists, physicians, and accountants. NASA is looking to hire four people willing to pretend to live on Mars for a full year. They posted the job on Friday, and they're accepting applications until September 17th, but they're not just taking anybody. The ideal candidate, 30 to 55, you got to have a master's degree in a STEM field, S-T-E-M, that's like, you know, engineering or math, but they're going to also accept applications from people with a bachelor's degree and some relevant experience. The four people who get chosen will live in a 1,700-square-foot enclosed space with no windows for a year. To put that in perspective, that's about twice the size of a condo at Brentwood Forest. Trust me, I know. They're going to only be able to eat astronaut food, and they're going to have limited contact with friends and family online. It's not clear how much it pays, but you can head to NASA's website if you want to apply. And then there was 45-year-old James Williams, who was doing some drinking with a few friends at Key West last Wednesday. He was with another guy and two women. It sounds like they were all there vacationing together. They were heading back to their hotel about 2:30 in the morning when one of the women passed out. So James put her in a wheelbarrow he found and started pushing her, which is a funny visual, but then he got mean. Started tossing out insults and dumped beer on her. So the other guy said, hey, knock it off, and it started a fight. Well, the woman who passed out woke up and tried to separate them, but James pushed her and the other woman to the ground. He then tackled his buddy and started choking him. And then during the struggle, he pulled a Mike Tyson and bit off part of his buddy's ear. Cops eventually showed up, arrested James for aggravated battery. It's not clear if they found the missing... It's not clear if they found the missing chunk of his friend's ear. Tales from Key West. You're on vacation to Southern Florida, and you get to have hotel sex, which we all know is the best. Life is busy. People are lazy. So the question is, have you ever scheduled sex? Might sound silly to people who've never done it, but others swear by it. And a lot of experts say it's a good idea, too. So how many of us have done it? Over 7,000 people were polled. And it's pretty much a dead tie. 38% of adults say they have scheduled sex before. 39% said they haven't. Another 5% couldn't remember if they have or not. 8% preferred not to answer. And 10% said they're still a virgin. So it didn't apply. Most of these people were 18 to 25, by the way. Men were more likely to say they've scheduled sex before, 43% compared to 35% of women, and people over the age of 55 were less likely to say that they have done that. Lady Gaga, seen in New York City wearing 8-inch platform heels. Well, if you've ever been to New York, you know how much pee there is in the streets. So get ready for what will probably end up being the hottest, or if not the hottest, one of the two or three hottest weeks of the year. This heat is not going to break until maybe Friday at the earliest. In 1969, it was the Tate-LaBianca murders that shocked the world and shocked Southern California, and also provided us with one of the great stories in reporting ever. And I mean that. Al Wyman, who you saw on Channel 4 for years and years and years as the health reporter, was a young general assignment reporter for KABC television in Los Angeles back in 1969. And the case had gone cold. And you're like, wait a minute, how can you have all these dead bodies and the case go cold? Well, they could not figure out a way to directly link the Manson family to the murders. What they were looking for specifically was the clothes. Obviously, you send a bunch of people in to commit not just murder, but these slaughterhouse-type scenes with just blood and everything all over the place. And they knew that those clothes had to exist, but they couldn't find them. So without the clothes and the blood and the various blood types being able to link it directly to the Manson family, the prosecutors in Southern California were really sort of stuck. And the case had gone just bone dry at one point after about 6 months. And one day, Al Wyman comes into work, and he's sitting there, his feet up on his desk. And this is him telling the story, by the way. And he just thinks to himself, now, wait a minute here. Let's just think about this for a minute. When you look at the Tate-LaBianca murders and you look at the mansion, when you are going to leave that residence, there's really only two ways out. And Al's thinking to himself, okay, they would come down to the bottom of the hill. They'd have to either turn left, which would take you right into Bel Air and the really, really fancy areas of Los Angeles, or they would go right, which would take you back into the San Fernando Valley, which it's much more likely that that would be the direction they would go. So Al says, go get a news van, and he sits in the back seat, and they drive to the place where the murders took place. And Al Wyman says, okay, to the guy driving the news truck, all right, I want you to go down the hill, and I want you to turn right like you're going into the San Fernando Valley, all right? And Al sits in the back seat, and he starts to undress. And he thinks to himself, what I'm going to do is I'm going to time this. They're sitting in front of the place where the murders took place. He's like, all right, go. And he starts undressing in the back seat. When he gets all his clothes off, he says, all right, stop. And lo and behold, on the left side, there's some nice homes. And on the right side, it's a canyon. A pretty good place to ditch the creepy crawlies, as they used to call them. The clothing that the Manson family was wearing when they committed these crimes. And so Al puts his clothes back on, and he and his news van driver, they start walking down the ravine, you know, walking down this canyon, and, you know, messing up their shoes, and it's a steep angle. And I'll be go to hell if he doesn't find the creepy crawlies. He finds the bloody clothes. Now, this was before all this satellite technology where you can just go live from anywhere. You basically had a photographer with you with a film camera, and that was it. So Al calls the authorities. He says, I found the creepy crawlies. And they're like, where is it? He goes, I'm not telling you, because I want this exclusive news story for the 5 o'clock news on KABC here in Los Angeles. And then, after I do that, then I'll tell you everything. And sure enough, they say, all right. And so Al busted that case open, and that was back in 1969. And it's in all of the books that have been written about the Tate-LaBianca murders. But all that, the actual murders taking place on this date back in 1969. First night game at Wrigley Field 33 years ago. And I've had the TV on here watching Fox 2 and Channel 4 and everything like that for the last hour. And I haven't seen one mention of this, and maybe it's a good thing, but Michael Brown was killed in Ferguson 7 years ago today. And it was on this date in 1994 that the very first Billy Joel and Elton John concert at Busch Stadium took place.
How you doing, Elton?
I'm doing good. How you doing, man?
Pretty good.
All right.
I'd like to dedicate this song to the National Enquirer.
And here comes Honesty. I get it. So that, by the way, that's the only recording. There is, I got a couple of the songs too. But anyhow, I digress. A couple of years later, Billy and Elton, on the heels of a wonderful night at Busch Stadium in 1994, well, they said, let's go back again. So a couple of years later, they come back. We get a bunch of tickets to give away. And so, as we often did, we made you work for the tickets. And it's a great J.C. Corcoran podcast flashback today.
And we welcome our Jeopardy contestants. Contestants, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Hello. Very good. Let's talk, first of all, to Vicki Love. Vicki, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Where are you from and what do you do?
I'm a volunteer coordinator for the National Multiple Sclerosis Society.
Oh.
And I'm from Tempe, Arizona originally.
From Tempe, Arizona. Where are you living now?
Here in St. Louis.
In St. Louis. Good. Okay, Vicki, good work there and nice job. Rob Stamp, where are you from? What do you do?
I live in Manchester. I'm an independent insurance agent.
All right. Call your independent insurance agent. What, the one you always hear? Yeah. Okay. All right. Todd Sanders, where are you from? What do you do?
I'm from St. Louis, and I run a private country club.
You run a private country club. Okay, we have our winner. No, I'm just...
Mondays are available for free golf.
I was going to say, we work on a barter deal there. All right, kids, you have your categories, which we will share with the rest of the studio audience here in just a couple of minutes. A reminder, you get one mulligan on this. All of your responses must be in the form of a question. We're going to let everybody screw up one time, and after that, you can have the right answer, but if it's not in the form of a question, you are wrong, and we're sorry, we have to move on. There are no consolation prizes. This is winner take all. Have a great time. Lori Mack is our official scorekeeper. Mm-hmm. Jennifer Sparks is our official judge. Why do we need a judge? Because you're each being assigned a mouth noise. Vicki Love, the volunteer coordinator from Tempe, Arizona. Vicki, you will be saying, well, let me just do you last. Todd Sanders, are you there?
I am.
Todd, your response is when you have the answer, you're going to go, try it. There you go. That's Todd.
Yeah.
Rob Stamp, the independent insurance agent from Manchester. You are ding, ding, ding. Try it.
Ding, ding, ding.
Good. And Vicki, since your name sounds different than everything else and all the other mouth noises, you're just going to shout out your name. So if you know the answer.
Vicki.
There you go. Louder than that.
Louder than that. Vicki.
There you go.
Yeah,
there
I
you
need
go.
To be able
well,
to hear you.
You got two big old testosterone-laden
hairy,
you can get
hairy guys. See? See? That was Rob, and he's the
Rob with that big ding.
He's got premature. He's got premature dinging there. Did you hear that?
Yeah. Which I personally like. But
all right, let's go to the Jeopardy board and start.
And just
our
to
game.
Remind you, you can interject with an answer before the question is over. But of course, if you get it wrong, you lose points.
Then you'd be wrong. Okay. All right. Here we go. Here are the. Let's go to the Jeopardy board. Our categories are Havas at Savas, Billy Joel's Bad Driving School, Reginald Dwight, Sing Us a Song, You're the Piano Women, Someone Didn't Save My Life Tonight, and Sounds Like Billy Joel. Now, before the game, we tossed a coin, and Vicki, you have won, so you start the Jeopardy board. Vicki, go right ahead and choose your category.
Reginald Dwight for $100.
Reginald Dwight for $100. Gordon Sumner got his nickname from the bumblebee-striped football shorts he wore.
That's Todd.
What is Sting?
What is Sting is very good. Todd, you have the board. Take it away.
Sounds like Billy Joel for $100.
Sounds like Billy Joel for $100. Posthumously, he sang a duet with his daughter, Natalie.
Ding, ding, ding.
Vicki.
Ding, ding, ding. That's Rob.
Who's Nat Cole?
Who is Nat King Cole? We'll take it. Good. You've got the board.
Sounds like Billy Joel for $200.
For $200, his foot products are a multi-million dollar industry.
Doc, doc. Ding, ding, ding.
Ding, ding, ding. That's Rob.
Dr. Scholes.
That's your mulligan.
Who is Dr.
Scholl? Who is Dr. Scholl? All right, now you keep track of that. He's used up his mulligan. That's for $200. All right, Rob, you have the board.
Someone Didn't Save My Life Tonight for $100.
For $100, his plane went down into the water off Cape Cod Coast 5.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yes, Rob.
Who is JFK Jr.?
Who is JFK Jr.? Go ahead, Rob.
Someone Didn't Save My Life Tonight for $200.
For $200, he was found dead in his Chicago hotel room on a Cards road trip last summer.
Ding, 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 ding.
Rob.
Who is Daryl Kyle?
Who is Daryl Kyle is right. Rob, take it.
Someone Didn't Save My Life Tonight for $300.
For $300, he collapsed outside Johnny Depp's club in Los Angeles.
Vicki.
I believe it was Todd.
That was the buzzer. The buzzer is Todd. Todd, take it.
Who is River Phoenix?
Who is River Phoenix? Very good. For $300, Todd, back in control of the board.
Someone Didn't Save My Life Tonight for $400.
For $400, this girl who sang the blues OD'd before she got her Mercedes-Benz.
Ding, 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 ding.
Rob.
Who is Janis Joplin?
Who is Janis Joplin? Why don't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz? Very good, Rob. Nicely done. Take it.
Let's go back to Sounds Like Billy Joel for $300.
Sounds Like Billy Joel for $300. This is what people say they won't touch something with when they don't like it.
Ding, ding, ding.
Jennifer.
Todd,
take it.
What is a 10-foot pole?
What is a 10-foot pole? Rhymes with Billy Joel. Todd, take it.
Someone Didn't Save My Life Tonight for $500.
For $500, he left behind his wailing guitar and his foxy lady when he OD'd.
Ding, ding, ding.
That is Todd.
Who is Jimi Hendrix?
Who is Jimi Hendrix?
Hey, Vicki, you there, baby?
Hey, I'm trying to get in.
For $500, and that completes the category on Someone Didn't Save My Life Tonight. Todd, you have the board. Take it away.
Sounds like Billy Joel for $400.
For $400, the area believed to have harbored a second JFK assassin.
Ding, 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 ding.
That's Rob.
What is the grassy knoll?
What is the grassy knoll? Sounds like Billy Joel. Take it away.
Let's go to Sing Us a Song, You're the Piano. You're the Piano Woman.
Sing Us a Song on the Piano Women for $100. This Miss Jones was loaded down with Grammys at this year's award show. That is Todd.
Who is Nora Jones?
Who is Nora Jones? Nicely done, Todd. Take the board.
Sounds like Billy Joel for $500.
For $500, completing the category, she played the mom on the black sitcom Good Times. That is Todd.
Who is Esther Roll?
For $500. Wow. Nicely done. Don't forget, the questions get more difficult as the dollar values increase.
And don't forget, we have three contestants. Hi, Vicky.
Yeah,
nice talking to
and
you.
And by the way, we're near the halfway point of our game. Laurie Mack, official scorekeeper. Who is, can you give us the score, please?
Sure. Rob Stamp has a lovely 1,400 points. Todd Sanders, though, has beaten you with 1,800 points. And Vicky, you're at the bottom there, but you're moving up. I can feel it.
I'll just shout louder.
Vicky, got anything there?
I got nothing.
No. You got nothing. All right, Vicky, we'll try to get you in the game here. All right.
I could give her 100 points, but that would be cheating.
And who do we have in control of the board at this point, by the way? That is
Todd.
Todd, go right ahead. Take it away.
Sing us a song, You're the Piano Women, for $200.
For $200, her Tapestry album is among the biggest.
Ding, 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 ding.
That is Rob.
Who is Carol King?
Who is Carol King, the biggest sellers of all time? Go ahead.
Sing us a song, You're the Piano Women, for $300.
For $300, blonde but soulful, she supplied the songs and soundtrack for Ally McBeal. Todd.
Who is Vonda Shepard?
Nicely done for $300, Todd. Take it.
Piano Women for $400.
For $400, one of the two Wilson sisters, this one married to a famous director.
Ding, 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 ding.
There is Rob.
Who is Ann Wilson?
That is incorrect. I'm sorry.
Vicky.
Go ahead, Vicky.
Yeah. Who is Nancy Wilson?
Who is Nancy Wilson? Vicky.
$400.
Plays a little piano for heart. Absolutely. Vicky, you have control of the board.
Take your time, Vicky. Relish your position.
Reginald Dwight for $200, winner of the Best Song Oscar. Marshall Mathers' name sounds like candy. That is Todd.
Goodbye,
Eminem.
Vicky.
Who is Eminem?
Who is Eminem is correct for $200. Go ahead.
Piano Women for $500.
For $500, completing the category, this actress seductively writhed on top of a piano.
Vicky. Who is Michelle Pfeiffer?
Who is Michelle? Oh, the Fabulous Baker Boys coming out of nowhere. $500 and back in the game. Vicky, you've got the board.
Let's do Billy Joel's Bad Driving School for $100.
For $100, this Oscar winner from last year plowed through a hit-and-run accident in L.A. This Oscar winner from last year plowed through a hit-and-run accident
ding, ding, ding.
In L.A. That is Rob.
Who is Halle Berry?
For $100. Nicely done, Rob.
Billy Joel's Bad Driving School for $200.
This Friends star has wrecked two cars we know about.
Vicky. Who is Jennifer Aniston?
Is incorrect. Oh. I'm sorry, Vic.
Ding, 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 ding.
Rob.
Who is Matthew Perry?
Who is Matthew Perry? Nicely done.
Man, y'all are fierce.
This has got to be close.
Billy Joel, Elton John, Jeopardy. We have a horse race at this stage of the game. Laurie Mack, who's in the lead?
It is Todd Sanders with 2,300, but closely followed by Rob Stamp with 1,500, and Vicky's on the board with 700.
Nicely done. Okay, here we go. Who is in control of the board right now? It's Rob, correct?
Yep.
Rob, take it away.
Let's go back to Billy Joel's Bad Driving School for $300.
For $300, this DUI star made Steve Martin's Oscar monologue this year. That is Todd.
Who is Nick Nolte?
Who is Nick Nolte? Very nicely done. Todd, take it.
Bad Driving School for $400.
For $400, this screaming comedian had a head-on on his way to a Vegas gig. That's Todd.
Who is Sam Kinison?
Who is Sam Kinison for $400? Todd?
Driving School for $500.
For $500, he owns the Savas Center and owns a DUI in Columbia.
Ding, 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 ding.
Todd?
Who is Bill Lurie?
Who is Bill Lurie picking up a DUI in Columbia a couple of days ago? And that completes that category. Todd, take it away.
Reginald Dwight for $300.
For $300, Robert Zimmerman knew the answer was blowing in the wind.
Ding, 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 ding.
That is Rob.
Who was Bob Dylan?
Who is Bob Dylan is correct?
Reginald Dwight for $400.
For $400, Bob Ritchie is scheduled to marry Pamela Anderson. That's Todd.
Who is Kid Rock?
Who is Kid Rock for $400? Go ahead, Todd.
Reginald Dwight for $500.
For $500, Cornell Haynes Jr. says it's... Yes, Todd.
Who is Nelly?
It's hot in
her.
That is it. All right, Laurie Mack, as we complete that category, we have one category left, and our score stands at?
Vicky Love has 700. Rob Stamp has a respectable 1,800, but Todd Sanders, 4,400.
4,400 pulling away on this. Let's see. All right, here we go. Wow. And Todd, you have control of the board. Take it away.
Have us at Savas for $100.
For $100, this Missouri native played Savas recently on a Friday instead of her Tuesday night music club.
Ding, 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 ding.
Todd.
Who is Sheryl Crow?
Who is Sheryl Crow is right for $100.
Have us at Savas for $200.
For $200, he played Savas in the summer of 2000 instead of his home state of New Jersey.
Ding, 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 ding.
That's Rob.
Who's Bruce Springsteen?
Who's Bruce Springsteen? Very nice.
Have us at Savas for $300.
For $300, this was the name of the Savas Center before it was the
ding,
Savas.
Ding, ding, ding.
That is Rob.
What is Kiel Center?
What is the Kiel Center? Nicely done for $300, Rob.
Havasat at 400.
In 99, this Polish visitor announced he'd return.
Ding, ding, ding,
oh,
ding, ding.
Rob.
Who is Pope John Paul?
Who is Pope John Paul said he'd return to Savas to play hockey someday?
Make it a run.
There we go. And finally,
Havasat for 500.
This governmental service is to the immediate west of Savas. Rob.
The immediate west would be what is the post office?
What is the post office? Nicely done. And that completes our game, Jeopardy. And Lori Mack, please give us the scores.
Vicky Love, 700. Rob Stamp, 3,200. But Todd Sanders is the winner, 4,500.
Boy, that was a vicious run at the end there by Rob, man.
Very, very nice.
Y'all were great.
So Thank God Rob ran out of questions.
So our winner of
I'm ready for Jeopardy.
You're ready for Double. So our winner is?
Todd Sanders.
Very good.
Good job, Todd.
I want to say thanks to Rob and Vicky, who put up a hell of a fight and gave him great competition. And
fabulous.
We thank you for listening, and congratulations,
being
and being great sports. Congratulations, Todd Sanders, going to Billy Joel, Elton John, the last pair of tickets here on Jeopardy!
God, I remember how hard that was, how much work that was to set up and to pull that off and everything like that. And when I hear that, I'm almost hearing it as a listener. It's been so long since it happened that it's almost like I'm listening to somebody else. But it makes me very, very angry because I think to myself, how could these people at this radio station walk in one day and just say, that's it, we're pulling the plug on your show? Unbelievable. All right, happy thoughts, JC. All right, that's it. The JC Corcoran podcast for the 9th of August, 2021 is in the can. Please spread the word if you're able that we are here. We publish at 7 o'clock Monday through Friday. And if you miss a podcast, we archive everything here and on a variety of platforms wherever you get your podcasts. You can email me, jc@jconline.com, or follow me on Facebook at The Showgram with JC Corcoran. That's it. Talk to you in the morning. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The JC Corcoran Podcast.